What are you after in life? My friend, you may be after 1,000 things that you think are going to bring you happiness, but the real issue is, whom are you seeking? You need the Lord. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He may be near.
Time for the Friday edition of Hope for Today, the Bible teaching ministry of David Hawking. Jesus said He'd rise again, and He did. Well, stay with us. Day 3 of He is Alive, taken from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18, is coming up next. And just ahead of that, I want to take a moment to thank all of you who've taken time to write us, those who've requested prayer, offered encouragement, shared testimonies, and shown your support with generous financial gifts. Listen, we feel the impact of your partnership with us in this Bible-teaching, gospel-sharing message. And as we move forward in ministry, we're so grateful for you and your commitment to joining us in sharing the truth of God's Word. Now, if you haven't written us recently or supported this ministry, please pray for us first, and then prayerfully consider a financial contribution. I'll give you the mailing address a little bit later, but if you'd like to make a contribution by phone, call us at 1-800-75-BIBLE in the U.S., 1-888-75-BIBLE in Canada, and our website, davidhawking.org. Well, let's get back into John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Here's David with day 3 of He is Alive.
Don't tell me that the Lord doesn't know our tears. The Bible is filled with it. He's a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And at the time of the resurrection of Lazarus, the Bible says Jesus wept over people's response to it. The Lord understands our tears. It reminds me of funeral services, but the Bible says we sorrow not like those who have no hope. Hey, we cry when our loved ones die and our family dies and we lose a mate, or we lose a child, or we lose a parent, we cry, we'll miss them. We have memories, but we are believers. We don't cry like those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so those who sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up to meet the Lord in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So when I look at this, it's interesting. The angels, as well as Jesus, say, why are you weeping? Not because He's rebuking her for crying, but He's dealing with the reason for the crying. If we're crying at funeral services without hope, then we are like the unbelievers. If only in this life we have hope, we are of all men most to be pitied. I have noticed that I've done hundreds and hundreds of funeral services, and frankly, I enjoy them very much. It may seem funny to you, but I see them as great opportunities for the gospel. I've had the joy of seeing many people come to know the Lord through funeral services. Opportunities are set there, words are implanted there, that later sometimes results in a person or a family member saying, I've got to know the Lord too. God uses funerals in a wonderful way to bring people to Christ. And I have noticed, I've done hundreds of them, sometimes of somebody who's a non-believer, sometimes of a believer. I have noticed the gigantic difference between the non-believer and the believer at a funeral. I've seen in non-believing funerals, I've seen them try to even leap into the grave, try to pull open the box and grab the bodies and then be frightened that it's just a hard stiff and they're just panicking and they don't know what to do. I've seen all kinds of terrible things at funeral services. And I've also been to funeral services that were almost better praise meetings than any Sunday morning service. I've seen people rejoice in the Lord, and there may be tears flowing down their face, but their confidence is in the Lord. Many years ago, a choir director, dear lady, in fact, she was like a mother to me, a Welsh lady. She sang with Caruso many years ago. Those of you who are old enough to remember. But this dear Welch lady was a choir director in our church. And when she died, she had written out everything she wanted for her funeral service. I still remember that. We had this gigantic choir and orchestra singing the Hallelujah Chorus. And I'm telling you, people are crying, but man, you're talking about praise. I thought we were going to go home to be with the Lord right there. It was fantastic. Hey, we sorrow not like those who have no hope. Sure, we cry just like unbelievers do. But there's something different inside. You know why? Because we know Jesus is alive. He's the resurrection and the life, and one day we're going to be with him. How many of you have lost loved ones? You know what I'm talking about. Look at it all over the audience. This is an inevitable fact of life. It's going to happen. It may happen in your family this year. But we don't sorrow like those who have no hope. We know there's going to be a great reunion one day. But you see, Mary Magdalene, she's in a different position there. Woman, why are you weeping? Not rebuking her for her tears, but asking her, what's the reason for it? And look what she says. Verse 13, because they've taken away my Lord. That's quite a statement. And I do not know where they have laid him. I see her crying. I see her concern. But then when I look at her conversation with Jesus, I am so blessed, and I know you are too. Let's examine it real quickly. Verses 14 to 16, her conversation with Jesus. One of the most beautiful interactions that we could read in the Bible. And I just want to point out to you four things. One, her ignorance. When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and didn't know it was Jesus. In all that grief and all that sorrow, they've taken his body away. The confidence that he had risen from the dead was not there at that point. Where they've taken the body and Jesus is standing there and she doesn't know it's him. You know, our Lord Jesus, and I'm not putting you on, has a spiritual presence that transcends his bodily presence. His body is at the right hand of the throne of God, but he lives in my heart. It's not simply an idea that he lives in my heart. It's not something I create that he lives in my heart. His presence is literally in my heart. He's in my life, and the Bible says so. And I know it, and I see the results of it. I see the conflicts and struggles with it too. When I want to go my own way, I see the Lord has taken up residency in me. And I understand when Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. I don't have all there is to Jesus in my life. Neither do you. But the Bible does say that the total fullness of Christ is seen in the body of Christ. All the believers together. You know something about his presence and his ministry that I don't know, and I know something you don't know. But I have Jesus living in me. And I believe it's a literal, spiritual presence of the Lord Jesus in me. Even though I know his bodily presence is at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven. Very interesting phenomenon. I can understand why a lot of non-Christians are a little confused hearing it. It sounds very mystical. Christ lives in me. It's said over and over again in the Bible. It even says that I am in him. I am in Christ. And Christ is in me. Christ in me, the Bible says, is the hope of glory. Everything I'm depending upon about what God promised. Resurrection of the body, being in heaven forever, having eternal life, complete forgiveness. All of it is because Christ is in me. He is the hope of all this glory that's been promised to me. There's ignorance in her heart, and I see that ignorance in people's lives. The Lord Jesus is here, and you may be sitting here and totally unaware of his presence, just like Mary Magdalene. His bodily presence was there, but she was not aware at that point in all of her grief that it was him. The answer was so near. The answer is near you too. The Bible says in Romans 10, it's so near, why it's almost in your mouth. He's not far from any one of us, the Bible says. In him we live and have our being. And you can be right in the midst of a lot of Christians who are knowing what I'm saying and have experienced the presence of the Lord and all of its wonderful ramifications and results, and you can be right there and not see it at all. You are blind as a bat because you haven't come to the Lord yet. You've never been born again. Christ lives in me. Christianity is not just a system or a way of doing things. Man, I hate that. And I see it everywhere. That is not what we are about. Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. Christ does live in us. Don't you ever forget that. And Mary is sitting there totally ignorant of the presence of the Lord Jesus. And some of us are ignorant of it. And I have found because of sin in my own heart and my own stubbornness and selfishness that I can ignore and neglect His presence even though it's a real fact about me. I can grieve the blessed Holy Spirit of God by my rotten attitudes. I can quench the Spirit of God like throwing water on Him. And I can also be like Mary in the garden, ignoring the wonderfulness of the presence of Christ that is within me because of my own stupidity and stubbornness and selfishness and sin. And you know what I mean if you're a Christian. But notice also her inquiry in verse 15. His inquiry, rather. He said to her what the angels did. Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? I'd like to say that to everybody. Confused about what's going on? You don't understand? You can't cope? You don't know what's happening? Why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? You know, we usually ask, what are you after? What are you after in life? My friend, you may be after 1,000 things that you think are going to bring you happiness, but the real issue is whom are you seeking? You need the Lord. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He may be near. Look at her interpretation, the end of verse 50. She thought He was the gardener. Those men would always come before the dawning of the day. They would come early in the morning and they'd start working. And so she just assumed He was a gardener, which tells me that there was no holy, vibrating, psychedelic lights coming off of the body of Jesus. You know, some people think after His resurrection, vroom, 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 everybody would know. No, He still looks like a real human being, though that body was totally different and it was not subject to the limitations of even time and space as we know it, and He could go straight through walls, yet it looked like a real body. And by the way, our bodies are going to be fashioned like in His glorious body. And when we get to heaven, I may look at you and you may look at me and say, isn't He the gardener up here? I love it. Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? She thought He's the gardener. But look at His identity that's revealed to her. Jesus turned to her and said, Mary. Oh, there have been books written about it. And I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what it was. Did He grab her on the arm? Did He touch her? Did He make her look right at Him? Was it the sound of His voice? Because she just heard Him talking before. Was it the way He said her name? Was there something the way He always said her name? Very common name then as it is today. Was there something about the way He always called her Mary that she would know? We don't know. All we know is that when He said, Mary, she turned around and said, Rabboni. She didn't say Rabbi. She said, Rabboni. And there have been a lot of translators who have indicated that that just means my teacher and nothing more. I'm sorry. Check your Hebrew history out. It's a term that refers to the Son of God, the Messiah, the great teacher of all. She's already indicating her faith in Him. Mary, she turns with the excitement of a woman whose heart had been broken, that somebody had stolen a body, and she realizes that Him, Rabboni, the teacher of all, the Messiah is here. And Jesus said, this is cute. I mean, I know you, I don't want to be irreverent here, but I think it's really sweet what is going to come here in verse 17. We've talked about her crying, her concern, her conversation with Jesus, but look at her clinging to Him, her clinging to Him. Jesus said, do not cling to me, old King James, don't touch me, but cling is proper. What she has done here is what you would have done. If you'd have been there and you love the Lord so much and you saw him die on Friday and now it's just early Sunday morning and it's gone and all of a sudden you meet him. Sunday morning. It's Sunday morning. And there's the Savior. He's alive. What would you do? You'd throw your arms around him and hang on for dear life. They're not going to get him next. I'm never going to let him go now. Some people say, watch this. The Lord could not be touched after his resurrection due to his spiritual unusual presence. Hey, there's a lot of neat sermons about it. I've got some in my library, but just throw them in the trash. That's not the point at all. 1 John 1:1 tells us their hands handled the resurrected Christ. And you would have done the same, man. You've been touched. Are we seeing a ghost? Are you an apparition? Jesus, are you real? Sure, touch me and see. Spirit does not have flesh and bones. Man, thank goodness he's real. Mary, she's got a hold of him. I'm never letting you go. Jesus said, stop clinging to me, literally in the Greek. I have not yet ascended to my Father. Don't worry. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. I know what I'm doing, Mary. I'm not going to leave yet. Don't worry. And then I look at his commission. Go to my brethren. Verse 18, she came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord. Go back to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. I like the way Matthew puts the events of this together and leaves us with what we know as the Great Commission. In Matthew 28:5, the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Get the evidence here. Get the assurance. And then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Indeed, he's going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I've told you. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. By the way, the same thing happens to the women that happened to Mary. As they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, rejoice! Can you believe that? Suppose you saw Jesus die on Friday and you're part of the women who came early. You don't know that Mary has had this little private interview with him or not. She's already ran back to tell Peter and John. And now you as the women are taken off because the angel said, you go and tell. This is the commission. You come and see and then go and tell. And as they're running, away, it says, Jesus met them and said, rejoice. Can you imagine meeting Jesus the first time after the resurrection and him saying, rejoice? And they immediately backed up and did not want to touch him because he said, do not touch them. Is that what it says? No, it says they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. He said, don't be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee. There they'll see me. And how interesting that Matthew would conclude in verse 16 with an event that's going to happen quite a bit after this. Naturally, his ascension happened 40 days later. The 11 disciples, verse 16, went away to Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him. 1 Corinthians 15 said, by the way, over 500 people saw him at once. Some doubted, still doubting. Then Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. The proper understanding of the resurrection is come and see, and then go and tell. That's the great commission of our Lord. When we gather together as Christians, we're going to reinforce our hearts in the Word of God. We're going to come and see all the evidence. We're going to learn. But we have not understood what our Lord wanted unless we go and tell. Father in heaven, we want to thank you and praise you for the good news that Jesus is alive. He's not dead. He's risen. And he's coming again. And you told us to go and tell the world. Father, I know if we would have been there, and have thrown our arms around the feet of Jesus and hung on for dear life. And then to hear him say, go and tell, we would have run too, to tell immediately others that he's alive. No wonder Christianity spread like wildfire, because there were eyewitnesses of the resurrection. They saw the risen Lord. Jesus said, blessed are those who have never seen yet still believe. Father, I pray that you would help those in our audience who have never made a commitment of their life and future to Jesus Christ, have never confessed with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believed in their hearts that God raised them from the dead. Lord, by your Holy Spirit, cause them right now to turn to the Lord before it's too late. Pray for every one of us who maybe not made that clear in our own hearts and lives. May we now believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and put our faith and trust in him, knowing that it's only he who paid for our sins, only he who rose from the dead. Oh God, help us to believe the gospel and be saved. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And you're listening to Hope for Today. And friend, are you new to the Christian faith? Or maybe are you not yet a Christian, but you're curious? In either case, we'd like to send you a copy of David's booklet called What is Christianity? And a Bible study by mail. Both of these are free to you. Again, if you don't know Christ, if you're not yet a Christian, or if you're new to the Christian faith, call us at 1-800-75-BIBLE in the U.S. or in Canada, 888-75-BIBLE. And Bible by the numbers is 24253. Well, now it's time to bring Matt into the studio, and we're going to tell you about a powerful resource from David.
Do we all descend from Adam and Eve? Are they the first humans, as the Bible tells us? Is the biblical account of creation merely religion opposed to the facts of evolutionary science?
Does true, honest scientific inquiry agree with the Genesis account? And Matt, who wrote the book of Genesis, and why is that question so critical?
Is the God who claims ownership and authorship of the Bible the same God, according to the Bible, who created the heavens and the earth?
Is the Bible, and specifically the story of mankind's creation and early days, an accurate account?
What about the flood?
Yeah.
The story of Noah building an incredible ship, the Ark, that provided rescue from the worldwide flood?
Well, many questions here, and you'll discover the answers and more inside The Beginning, From Creation to the Flood, by David Hawking.
This is our featured book for March, and it covers Genesis chapters 1 through 9. The Beginning, From Creation to the Flood, is just $15.
And Matt, such an excellent study, and your dad, he makes the case that we can logically and completely accept the biblical record as accurate and reliable.
And we can trust that an honest scientific look at the material universe will continue to confirm what the Bible says.
Yeah, concerning origins and everything else. Well, again, this month we're featuring David Hawking's book, The Beginning, From Creation to the Flood, an excellent Christian apologetic for just $15.
At davidhawking.org, davidhawking.org, or call us in Canada at 1-888-75-BIBLE. In the U.S., call us at 1-800-75-BIBLE. And Bible by the numbers is 24253.
Well, Matt, just before your dad returns, I also want to tell folks about another incredible resource. This one is titled In the Beginning, and it's David's powerful Genesis message series. It's a deep dive into the foundations of our faith that includes 72 messages covering the entire book of Genesis, from creation, the flood, the patriarchs, and God's promises, all, of course, with David's signature clarity and biblical insight. You can get a DVD set. Again, this is David's series through the book of Genesis on DVD, the package, just $50, or an MP3 audio for $35. You can order now at davidhawking.org, or call us at 800-75-BIBLE in the U.S. or 888-75-BIBLE in Canada. Once again, here's David.
God has become flesh and has dwelt among us, a Savior who is Messiah, the Lord. And we need to understand that there is no salvation apart from him. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. From all of us at Hope for Today, we hope that your focus is on Yeshua, Jesus our Lord. Folks, we need your help. Can you give us a call and say, hey, we'd like to help support Hope for Today? We depend upon God's people. We have no organization or church or foundation behind us. All of our broadcasts are supported by the listeners in those areas. So would you please give us a helping hand at this time and give a call and let us know that you're behind us in prayer and financial support. God bless you and thank you ahead of time for your kindness to us.
Well, thank you, David. And just before we go, friend, if you'd like to support this ministry, Hope for Today, you can send your financial gift by mail to Hope for Today, Box 3927, Tustin, California, 92781. And that's in the U.S. In Canada, write to Hope for Today, Box 15011, RPO, Seven Oaks, Abbotsford, B.C., V2S8P1. You can also give by calling us at 800-75-BIBLE in the U.S. and in Canada, 888-75-BIBLE. And of course, you can donate anytime you like securely at davidhawking.org. Well, next time on the broadcast, David continues his powerful verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of John right here on Hope for Today.